This is Steve Hurley, and welcome to the Pivotal Outdoors Podcast, discussing hunting, fishing, and outdoor pursuits, swapping stories and feeling alive. All right, welcome back to the Pivotal Outdoors Podcast. Today, I'm really excited to have Chris Chain, the founder of SeasonReport.com, on to talk about what SeasonReport.com really is. A little background on Season Report. It's a modernized almanac that looks at the entire ecosystem around you. And I've been using it. It's a great reference and planning tool to show you what you can hunt and when and where and how, but not just in hunting and fishing, but also in planting your seeds for your garden and foraging berries, mushrooms, anything that's in your local area, which is definitely something I really want to get into. So I'm really relying on the growing and the foraging. So yeah, so welcome to the podcast, Chris.
Yeah, great to be here. Glad to hear that it's providing some different perspective on the woods around you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And I guess with this podcast, Pivotal Outdoors, we've mostly talked about hunting and fishing in previous episodes, but I really wanted to design this as like just an outdoor experience of living off the land. So this really spoke to me as like an all-around well-rounded outdoors men and women. So this is definitely really cool. And especially in this time of year where it's springtime and maybe hunting seasons are kind of like not in right now, but mushrooms and growing is all in like full swing right now. So I think listeners could really benefit, especially for those parts of it.
Yeah, I've built it, but I'm also a user. And so it's got me wanting to constantly get outdoors, and my wife is kind of growing tired. We got to go a hike and it's morel season and we got to get out there now. And so it's come to shape the way I think about just the natural ecosystem around me. There's always opportunities.
And I really love that it is, as you create your dashboard at the website, it's really tailored to your like exact location, like your area. So someone in South Carolina would have a different schedule compared to Minnesota. Those are just two random states I'm choosing. But I really like how I can put, okay, my county in Pennsylvania, what is really blooming in the forest, which previous years, since I'm still a newbie for foraging and growing, I would be like, oh, it's springtime. Well, I'll just get out in the woods, when really I might be 2 or 3 weeks before chanterelles or turkey tail or whatever is coming into growing. So, or fruiting, I think, whatever the word is.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of the reason why I built this. It was just my own attempt to solve exactly what you're talking about. You know, we all miss that season, and that's kind of the tagline that I've built this around. Is like, never miss a season. I just found it so frustrating year after year, finding out a week or two late on all these different opportunities. And, you know, like everybody made a cheat sheet that I'd lose, or it'd get buried in a folder on a computer or something like that. And by building this and creating that kind of personalized dashboard, you know, in Virginia and Pennsylvania a little bit too, they cut the state up in so many different ways. And I'm sure you have a few spots that you go and hunt. And so I was trying to build that personalized dashboard, like you were pointing out. Like, I have my local area, but I also have the place in Western Virginia that I go quite often, and it's completely different regulations, and there's a change in altitude. So everything's off by a week or so. And it's turned out to really eliminate all that noise it takes to sift through to actually find that information. Oh, it's been crazy looking through them all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I guess you have the experience of actually dicing all this stuff up. But Pennsylvania, you can go to their website and you're like, okay, let me scroll through for this species. Is this in season right now? And it will even be a pocket guide. That's how it's labeled as. Which I guess would be all right if you had a book, but everything is on our mobile device now. And as you scroll through, you have to scroll through, say it's deer season and I'm looking for oh, are bear in right now when I'm in this unit that I'm in? And with the pocket guide, I would have to scroll through like 30 pages. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm in the bear section. Okay, let me scroll down. Okay, there's these dates. Okay, I do fall in these dates, but they're for these certain regulation areas. Oh, okay, am I in this area? And it just seems like it just takes time. It's unnecessary time. When I'd rather just wake up in the morning before I go out. Okay. Yep. Oh, bears are in today. Okay, great. I can just be on my way.
You know, one of the earliest use cases that really opened my eyes, because I developed this over the summer and tested it with some friends, and it was cool reception. I mean, the prototype was far different than what you're seeing now, and people liked it. But then once I started playing around with adding foraging, I was at deer camp with my buddy this past fall, and he got a deer. By looking up season report at the time, we realized there was an early duck split, and we're able to capitalize on that opportunity to get a duck, and also recognize that chicken of the woods mushrooms were in season. And so it was just so many opportunities that, you know, I'm just listening to, but there were a few other seasons going on at that point. But I would have never thought about a duck or a mushroom on that trip. And it paired with some of the tenderloin that we got on that trip. And, you know, to have such a well-rounded meal from the same valley, it was just such a deep experience that me and my friend were like, oh yeah, this is the way that you should go into the woods.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. That's when you savor every bite. You're like, wow, this is living. This is like just a connection to the earth, really. You just feel like that's awesome.
Oh yeah.
And I bet you if you had to look up a regulation, scroll through stuff, I mean, by that time, it just would just be too late. You know, if you say, oh, I see these a couple ducks sitting out, you could look at it and within 10 seconds know if you're good to go or not. So,
and you know, I got a bear that way this past fall, just so happened to pull up the, you know, I pulled up the dashboard, but just so happened to have my eyes fall on a different species that happened to be on the same day. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't realize it was today. And then lo and behold, was able to capitalize on an opportunity. But I think getting back to your point of it takes time, I think one of the things I'm learning and I'm hearing from a lot of people is it, because it removes all that time, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to go out and get something to take back, but you end up treating it like this, you know, like filing your taxes or completing a course in college where you have to put so much time and effort into it. And that was one of my goals. I really wanted to make it as simple as possible so people could enjoy the outdoors and not have to spend all that time looking through websites.
Yeah. And encourages more opportunity. Like by chance, like, what's the word? Like, not collateral, but like,
serendipity, maybe.
Maybe. I'm just saying while you're out there, it opens your mind up to really just getting in touch with everything around you. While you're out there, you can find more options as you stumble upon something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I just wanted to, just for the listeners, I just wanted to pull up my phone and then literally just talk through what I'm seeing live as the user experience.
Great.
So in my case, I pulled it up. I'm here on seasonreport.com, which seeing it online and on the computer, it's very similar. It's not thrown off, you know, like it's a different layout and hard to use. It's very user-friendly, which is ideal.
Thank you. Yeah, a lot of effort went into making it look the same on every screen. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's been approached. You know, I've wrote the code for this, but, you know, I've worked with a few contractor professionals to make sure the important parts were done correctly. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And I'm really impressed that you spun this up in, less than a year?
You know, it evolved. So it began fall 2020, was a publicly available service spring 2021, and then I added gardening and foraging in, I believe, the new year, right around the beginning, maybe February in this year. And then slowly implementing fishing and then making sure all the hunting regulations are getting updated.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a lot of work.
Yeah. It's been fun, honestly. It doesn't feel like that much work. I mean, it is a ton of work, but it doesn't feel that bad. It doesn't feel laborious because I'm constantly hearing positive feedback from people, and it's validating. So anytime I'm starting to get kind of worn down, I hear from another person says, "Holy crap, this is exactly what I wish I had." And then it just kind of reignites that fire.
Yeah. So I'm here on the website, and so I kind of created my dashboard already. When users sign up, they can create their dashboard. If you just click on dashboard, top right, you can click, look up search, and then it's a nice, easy drop down. You don't have to scroll through stuff, fight through anything. Select your activity, hunt, fish, forage, or grow. Select your state, your county. If you're hunting, you select your species, or even fish, or even foraging. But on my dashboard, I've already loaded up a bunch of stuff. I have Pennsylvania in there for whitetail and bear, but I also have Montana in there because I actually got an elk tag out there.
Hey, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. So I could even put in the specific unit in there, and it breaks it out. It shows bow seasons, firearm seasons, primitive weapon. And then I thought this was really cool, which I didn't really think about, but there's shed hunting. So there's a shed hunting season in Montana, which, me not being from Montana, I'm not really thinking about that, because in PA, you just go out and find it as you want. But this is something that might be missed by somebody if they are, traveling to another location or state, and they may not know that, oh, well, there's a regulation with shed hunting, and now I even know that because it's in this dropdown. So I think there's some hidden value there as well.
Yeah, I have a few different kind of mini experiments going on, and not every, I mean, most states have, well, let me back that up. All states are large game focused. And then I have a lot of different experiments and kind of to see feedback from different people, like which way they want to digest that information. Shed hunting is one of the things that I thought might be interesting just because, it's one of those things, another thing of the ecosystem you have to look up. And yeah, I've heard a lot of good feedback about that.
Yeah. And it's, it is a major activity out, especially out west.
Oh yeah.
I mean, very competitive. People really take like a hunting trip, they take a shed trip and they go scour the mountains for days and really, really rack stuff up. So, I mean, I bet you there's a lot of people really out west that would really benefit from that.
Oh yeah.
So then as I keep going down, so that's the hunt section. Now I jump into foraged foods, and I'm really impressed that this is a very extensive list, and I have it just as my, my county in Pennsylvania, but I didn't even know there was this many things in the woods I could eat.
I've been learning every step of the way. I'm just constantly impressed by how many cool opportunities there are.
Yeah. And some of the things that I think are really cool here is like this one, I'll click on chicken of the woods, just as an example. I mean, there's oyster mushrooms, chanterelles, morels, lion's mane, raspberry, all kinds of the whole long list, which you can edit and add and remove as you want. So if you're only looking for certain things, you could just use those items. But I click on forage for chicken of the woods, and it gives a pop-up right away. And it's like, oh, April 1st to September 30th, chicken of the woods, easy to spot on dead and dying trees, particularly on oaks. So it's even given tips on where to find these mushrooms. And that note is under a day limit. So if you're in the hunting season or fishing, which I'd say fishing is really big because you have creel limits and stuff, that number is in there. So I think that's a great trick for people to even just start learning how to do this.
Yeah. And everything is constantly evolving. And so there's some dates that are, the hunting is straight from the websites, but hunting and fishing, but the foraging and growing, there's a reason why, people always harp on the weatherman, right? Like everything's going to push forward plus or minus a few days, depending on weather, temperature, all those kind of trends. And so I think the cool opportunities going forward are how to make this data even more accurate for that location.
Yeah. Some of the other notes here, like I'm looking at raspberries. I'm just scrolling through some of these. Raspberry shrubs have a lifespan of about 2 years, something I didn't know. And if you hit a spot previously, you're like, oh, hey, this is a good spot to come back next year, but maybe not be surprised if it kind of dries up, you know, following after that. And some other things, juniper berries, actually fleshy cones. So I think this is a great, as you go through, it's like, wow, there's a lot of detail in here that when you just pull it up, it's like, okay, this is straightforward species, a date. But as you click into it, there's really some really good details that help. Keep going down. Then I'm at a section called My Garden. And so I do not have a green thumb. Last year I tried a garden. I really like the idea of trying to live, you know, off the land as much as I can, just as a great human experience. And last year I picked out a whole bunch of different stuff, carrots, beets, spaghetti squash, blueberries. I tried all kinds of things. Total novice. It failed. And now looking at this, I'm glad when we talked a few weeks ago when we did, because I want to start a garden this year. I have a new location. I have a raised bed, new soil. I really want to like get this right, or at least better, you know, than last year. And as I'm looking, there's every species that basically can grow in my location. And I like how it's broken out on when you should sow your seeds, and then right below that, transplant. So the time frame that you want to transplant it, where you'll see the growth, and then a time frame on harvest for each species. So you can just keep scrolling and scrolling. This is all in here. And I realized that previously I was just planting everything at the same time, probably too late. And, you know, I wasn't looking at different time frames. Some things I like carrots. I'm seeing that harvest is coming up like right now or in the near future. And this was probably about the time I started like trying to like sow the seeds. So I really messed it up previously.
There are a few of those winter crops and that'll sneak up on you. Like, oh, I had no option of ever capitalizing on this. But you know, one of the things, first off, don't feel bad. Carrots, I've never had success with. They are some of the most difficult things, at least in my hands. I haven't been able to grow them very well. I got maybe some thumb carrots one year. And one of the things I've found really interesting, I never realized that for a lot of the vegetables, you have a early spring and late fall harvest. I never realized that there were bimodal growths. And now I'm actually going to extend those salad greens into the fall and, you know, start those seeds in summer, according to the, you know, my dashboard I built.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I mean, my assumption was, oh, you plant in spring and you harvest it September, October, you know, but that's me not being a grower. So previously last year, I would go to Home Depot or Lowe's. I'd go to the seed rack. I'd flip through and be like, oh, maybe I want this. I want to eat this. Oh, my family likes this. I know my kids will eat this. And I look at the back of the packet and they give certain dates, but there is a map, but it doesn't quite show exactly, you know, dates could be different, whether you're, you know, your latitude or whatever. So I like how this really breaks it out for your location. When's the best time to do everything? And so I'm going to be trying to do I want things that have a higher success rate, or they're a little hardier. So I am going to be doing spaghetti squash, cucumbers, some watermelons. So things that I want to feel success. So that's why I'm focusing on those instead of more temperamental plants. But if I didn't look at this, I could be behind the eight ball on even getting seeds started. I might want to just jump to buying a plant and transplanting it.
You know, and people are busy, and you know, I think that's part of the reason I put some of those different spots in there, just or those different times of growth in there, because yeah, there's times when you only really have time to buy from the store, and then there's other times when there's a snowstorm and you have enough time to actually, all right, I bought these seeds, let's actually plant them. But you know, this year my wife's been making fun of me because I did not listen to the website. What? And it was such a beautiful, one of those warm fall spring days in late winter. And I was like, oh, I don't, you know what? We'll just start seeds early. It's no big deal. We'll have a good time. You know, like we're, the family will be here by the fire. It'll be fun. We did it. We had a great time. And then those seeds started growing and then they got a little too large. And I put my entire garden in before, way too early, like way too early. And of course a frost came in, almost killed half of it. Oh. I covered a lot of it, but it was like one of those really unexpected deep cold snaps that, you know, conventional methods just can't protect. So half the plants died, but then I had the other half of the seedlings still growing. So we waited until the cold finally got out of the way, but then they were too large for their containers and they started getting weak right about the time I needed to put them in the ground. It was just this funny, we've been laughing a lot at how so much effort has been put into this. And I didn't even listen to my own thing with the garden.
Yeah.
And so I'm paying the price because some of those plants are not thriving because I did it at the wrong time.
Yeah. Just trust the report. That's what people need to do. Just trust the report.
Yeah. A little egg on my face there.
And then you have a section for fishing opportunities. And before even getting on this, I could see the value with fishing so much because every state, there's different limits, like krill limits for every species that you can catch. And as an example, I threw in Florida in there because I was thinking, you know what, if you're not used to the area and say you're going on vacation, hey, I'm going to go fishing in Florida. And me and a few buddies were taking a boat out and you pull up Florida and you start scrolling and it's just species after species.
Oh, I know. It's unreal.
Yeah. It's crazy. And as you click on them, it might be, oh, okay. If you catch the shark, it's one per person or two per vessel. So it's not quite just one person. If you have a few people, you can only get two per vessel. If it's a smaller fish, you might have a daily limit of 25 or three or maybe you can't keep it. And so, which I think is so handy to have in your pocket when you don't really know. I mean, you might be going for a species, but there's going to be tons of bycatch, especially if you're just going out for fun. Maybe you don't have a lure on for like a marlin, like a big deep sea fishing. But if you're just along the coast, I'm sure there's all kinds of things that you could pull up. And it'd be good to know at that moment, hey, can I keep this? Are we still legal? Which is an important thing. Instead of getting back to the dock and having any issues,
I focused on the saltwater states first. I have not finished. You know, fishing is kind of, I thought that one would be a little bit easier than hunting, but I was quite honestly a little naive because fishing is gargantuan and it's very doable. And I'm doing I'm focusing on the saltwater first for that very reason. Like going on a beach trip in the summer, you know, do you really want to be spending a lot of time looking up all those tedious websites, or do you want to like get the dashboard, put it in there, get the information quick, and then also have those links to go. So a lot of the links that I provide for each individual species, it brings you to the page on the large PDF that you'd have to go to look for detailed information anyways. I bring you right to the page that you need to look at. So it just speeds up that process a little bit more.
So yeah, so when you initially put in with what activity you want to do in what location and for what species, you click submit, like in this case I did Montana elk. It pops up and there's four other buttons below that. A button for to purchase the license that goes to the website, in this case Montana, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a Montana zoning map, which would show you the area of the unit or location. And then it even gives a link to the regulations, which I think is great because there's point regulations, either sex or you know, antlered only. There's a lot of different things where this is nice just to have right away access to. And then you could save this location, which mm-hmm. I have saved in here.
Yeah. And that's, you know, this is a time-saving planning service, right? And I thought about really putting every single piece of information, and I played around with it a few times, antler points and, you know, some of the really obscure laws. But then I found that I was basically just recreating the bloat that I was trying to eliminate. And I've kind of, like I said, I have a few different experiments going on, but I really want this to be streamlined information and then provide those links easily. So when you want to go deeper, and those links are going to be on your dashboard soon as well.
This is really cool. I'm definitely a user of this. You said that you're going to update some of those links in the dashboard, and it seems like this is such an evolving thing as you keep playing with it. Are there any like roadmap items that you're willing to share with things that are upcoming?
There are a lot of large irons in the fire right now, and I don't want to give away too much, but it's, you know, there's an app on the way, and I think if you like what you see now, I think people are really going to be blown away by the app design. It takes everything and makes it even easier. And I personally can't wait to really use this. I use it now, but to use the app, I think it's going to be transformative, at the risk of sounding cheesy.
So if people do want to start using Season Report, how would they go about it? Would they just go to the website?
Yeah, seasonreport.com. You just put your email address in and you can get started right away. You have a 2-week free trial, and I wanted to really give people enough time to kind of see the ways that you could think differently about your ecosystem, or kind of like you keeping tabs on those travel locations, whether it be family or that ideal hunt in Idaho or something like that. And so 2 weeks completely free, you get to play around with it, build your dashboard, and then it's just $15 a year. And, I'm partnering with a few different organizations like Pope and Young and Howl for Wildlife, and they each have their code that you can find our social media. And if you want, you can get a reduction. I think Pope and Young is Pope Young, and then Howl for Wildlife is Howl. And you can use either of those codes, and it gets you $5 off. So it brings it to just $10 a year. And then it gets some of that purchase kicked directly back to that conservation agency. So I'm really just trying to make it affordable and do some good things.
Yeah. And you said Howl, is that's like Howl, like Howl at the Moon, H-O-W-L?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And $15. I mean, that's well worth it. I mean, that's, heck, if you and I go to Starbucks, there's $15 right there, you know?
Well, you know, I think where it's really worth it is if, you know, one thing that we didn't get to talk about is the Discover page. And that one, I think I need to do a little sprucing up on the education, because I don't think it comes readily apparent on what it is. But you can search the whole nation. Like if you want to go on a bow elk hunting trip and you have 2 weeks off in September, you can put that criteria in and search, and it'll tell you nationwide where you can hunt for that. And right now that's a long, tedious process.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I wouldn't even have known about that. So I'm glad users will be able to use that. And a lot of people, like I talk with a lot of people, like I'm on the East Coast and I'm just getting into Western hunting, really. Like I've done it just a couple of years, but I really want to get rolling with it. And some people ask me, like, they want to get into hunting or foraging or whatever, and they don't really know where to start or what's available. And I think the whole process might feel just like it's overwhelming, not overwhelming in that they can't do it, but overwhelming. It just, there's a lot of things coming at them, and then they kind of brush it off and, oh, maybe I'll do that later or next year or something. So if they're like, hey, I have a 2-week vacation, boom, let's see what's available out there. That's a really great planning tool.
Yeah, and I would like a little bit more flexibility in my schedule to take advantage of a lot of those Western hunts. I'm kind of like keeping the blinders on with that Discover page, because I don't want to see how easy it is to apply to some of those elk hunts and then find myself drawing a tag. I just don't have the time to do that at the moment. But, you know, I have some buddies who do a lot of travel hunting, and they're like, man, this is I've never had anything that allowed me to just look across the nation like this.
Yeah. I'm going to mess around with that more. At least mess around with it and dream, you know?
Yeah, like, exactly. Oh,
if I was hunting, what would I be doing in December?
You can just kind of, play around with different ways to look at, like, you can find some wild regulations. Like, I think Delaware has a handgun season, you know, all the different types of animals out west. And like you were saying with fishing, there's just so many different species that you, especially in the saltwater, that you can throw crab pots for or throw a line out for. It kind of brings that whole ecosystem to your fingertips.
And another note with the fishing, I could see that really being used for people kind of near the border or waterways that might hit two states.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm right near Delaware, New Jersey, Maryland, and I'm in Pennsylvania. And we have the Susquehanna that flows from PA into Maryland, dumps in the Chesapeake Bay. And we're right near a section where there could be different restrictions depending how far you are up the river or down the river.
Yeah, and full disclosure, a lot of the inland states, I'm going to focus on the salts as I build out the fishing. And I'm not, there's a reason I don't have fishing kind of labeled on the website on the front page, because I don't feel like it's quite at the point where I feel confident to say, hey, this has all the regulations, because I'm still figuring that one out. But the inland states are definitely on their way.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how this keeps evolving. I'm definitely, I can't wait to see, especially the app. So I'm really, really glad you're able to come on. Is there anything, because I know you mentioned Discover, is there anything else we're not mentioning that could be really valuable to the listeners?
In the state of the nation, everybody's divided into camps. And I've found that this is a pretty unique angle on bringing different groups together. And, I think that's one of the reasons I was really happy to be able to work with Howl early on, because they're doing the same thing, bringing different groups together. Because at a certain point, like, everybody who gets in the woods cares about the same thing. Some might like hunting, some might not like hunting. But I think by bringing everybody together through this lens, it might, it's my job to think lofty with this, right? And reach for the stars. But also, it seems like with the feedback, this could really open people's eyes on what truly matters. And it's like preserving those wilderness areas from, name your irreversible development.
Yeah. Once everyone's out there, they could see it in real life, kind of get really in touch with what they're doing out there.
Yeah, exactly.
So you said you did give contact information, right, for seasonreport.com, but also on, you mentioned social media, right? Is there a way people can reach you on social media?
Yes, on Instagram or Facebook at My Season Report.
Great.
Well, thanks for having me on, man.
Thanks for creating this thing. This is great, and I'm really glad we could chat today. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And we're, just up the road from one another. So maybe we can sneak in a deer hunt this year.
Yeah, I'd be up for that. We'll definitely have to plan some.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, thanks for listening today. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to like and subscribe. And if you'd like to support this podcast to sustain future episodes, feel free to click on the listener support link in the show notes. There'll be more content coming. And if there are any questions or comments, you can reach me on Instagram at Outdoors with Steve or at Pivotal Outdoors.